This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled Making Plans. This is the first message in the series Great and Awesome Christmas 2016. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. There you will find many resources in the Watch a Message section, including this teaching in both audio and video formats. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
So welcome to 12 Stone for the Christmas season 2016. And the first four books of the New Testament tell the story of Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ, Merry Christmas. It is God's unfolding plan, God's great and awesome plan. In fact, let me just write that word down so you know where we're going today. God's great and awesome plan. I want you to say this with me, because God has great and awesome what, church? Plans for us. But have you ever experienced making plans yourself, but having them fall apart? In fact, let's just check it across the campuses. With a show of hands, how many of you have ever made a plan, big or small, but somewhere along the line, your plans fell apart? Let me see your hands up. Look around the campuses. Y'all, everybody's got their hand up. Because this is a common occurrence. It happens every week in your life, if not every day in your life, where you've made plans and they fall apart. And it happens in big ways and it happens in little ways. That we had it happen to us in a little way last weekend as a family. A simple plan. We were going to our annual one time a year Atlanta Falcon football game. And the plan was to go to the game, but on the way to the game, to stop at the Lego store. Because many of you know, Jaden and I, we love Legos. Jaden, my 13-year-old, loves Legos. And we are jazzed about the upcoming Batman Lego movie, which hits in February of 2017. We already know this. And they're already beginning to release Lego sets. And this Lego set, we were going to get it released last weekend. And so it is a Joker. I mean, it's a low rider. That is an awesome Lego. So I promised him. I said, Jaden, here's our plan. On the way to the football game, we'll pick it up. So on the way to the football game, we stopped by Sugarloaf Mills. Well, of course they open at 10 o'clock. It wouldn't occur to me anything else. I had no idea when I showed up to the empty parking lot that they didn't open till noon. Who knew? Some of you are like, well, you're an idiot. Well, maybe I am, but I didn't know. So how well do you think that went? Yeah, showing up like, oh, son, I'm sorry. So the black cloud already starts to come over the vehicle. See, we're going to have an awesome day. We got plans. Get the Lego. You're going to enjoy that. We're going to take it down. We'll go down to the game. We'll start eating at noon, and then we'll be there for the kickoff. And not. Okay, so does anybody else by chance have the Lego? But we don't have time for this. So, okay, I'll tell you, Marcia said, oh, do you remember the Super Target down off Plessy? I remember that. We went there years ago. Yeah, let's go down there. In fact, we'll go down the satellite side because I got to get gas anyway. So we'll stop at that satellite and Boggs QT, and I'll get gas right there. And then we'll head down the rest of the way. So then we pull into that gas station that isn't there anymore. I don't know why it isn't there anymore. They didn't send any memos out to me, and I haven't been in that area. So I'm like, a strike two. High skill here. Well, for heaven's sakes, let's at least just go over to that Super Target that's down off Pleasant Hill near Dave & Buster's. So we snuck our way through. And on the way, we passed General Cinema 6 Theater, which is the abandoned building. And I told Jaden, hey, dude, 15 years before you were born, that's where we started the church. So, yeah, big, memorable moment here. Mark it. Okay, move on. Let's get on to Super Target. And we pull up into the Super Target, which is not there anymore. I'm like, are you kidding me? What is going wrong? Am I in a twilight zone? Do I even know the area? And so now the black cloud is starting to rain. I mean, it's just like, this is not going well at all. And I said, I think they have it at Toys R Us. And Marcia's like, well, there's a Toys R Us. I don't have time for this. I gotta get to the game. So we went over to Toys R Us. All four of us ran in. I mean, like it's a fire drill. And we're running around Toys R Us. They don't have them. No, they just get released. Of course not. Not the place that has toys. Why would they have it? Everything but that. So we run back out to the car. I'm like, we have got to go. We do not have time for this. Well, I think they have them at Walmart. I don't care. Although I remember there was a Walmart over on Pleasant Hill on the other side of the expressway. So I did the back road to the Walmart. We pulled in. I'm like, they moved the Walmart. There's no Walmart. Shoot me. I'm on. I mean, I can't find a gas station. I've been to four stores. Just get on the highway and let's go. And of course, you know what that's like in the car, right? This happy day off is awesome. And I remember, like, on the way down, hey, what about, I remember Phipps Plaza, they have a Lego. And so, yeah, we went over there, and they were open. We got it. Score, Daddy gets a touchdown, but messed up our whole plans. Okay, well, that's just a little way, but I've had plans that were big plans. Like, when I pointed to that General Cinema 6 theater that is now abandoned, I'm like, son, you have no idea. 15 years before you even came on this earth, your dad had big plans, and they just fell apart for years. And that was the first Christmas. Have you ever thought about this? That the very first Christmas was God unfolding his great and awesome plan while a whole bunch of other people's plans fell apart. Did you know that? I mean, have you actually read the Christmas story? Do you know that's actually how it worked? Simultaneously, God's great and awesome plans are unfolding and everybody else's plans are like falling apart. Because I think we have an unspoken, often unconscious, but inaccurate view of God and of faith. And it's messing us up and we don't know it. You got to get this right. We got to get this right. So the first week of Christmas is this message that I put in your notes. You don't have to fall apart when your plans fall apart. You can trust God. See, I think we have an unspoken, unconscious view of God. And here's what it says. If God were really with me, if God really loved me, my plans wouldn't fall apart. And well, you may never say it that way, but that's what you think. I mean, after all, I'm an imperfect father. Jaden knows that. I can't control all things. But I set good plans and then messed up and it did. But at least I tried really hard and went the extra mile and got the Lego. Score! Now God, he's a perfect heavenly father and he can control all things. So if he really loved me, my plans wouldn't fall apart, right? That's how we think. Because there's no peace in plans falling apart. And that's why you need the message you just wrote in your notes. You don't have to fall apart when your plans fall apart. You can trust God. And I'm going to give you the insight right off the top. I'm going to just give it to you right now. I'm going to draw it out on the board. You don't have it drawn this way in your notes, but go ahead and draw it out. I want to unpack, talk about the triangle of trust. I want to help you understand that there is a place inside three truths where you find real peace. Real what? Peace. In a world that's uncertain, in a world where there's fear and anxiety and worry, you want peace. And there is a triangle of trust to live inside that God made possible at Christmas. See, most people still don't understand that sin is so serious, it separated us from God, that it created a Grand Canyon-sized gap, and that we are in a civil war with God. And Jesus coming, Merry Christmas, was to restore, to bridge that gap. And that's what we'll talk about on Christmas Eve. And it's going to be a fantastic Christmas Eve services all day, Saturday. So we'll move what was normally Sunday services. We'll move into Saturday. And you got all the details on that. It's going to be awesome and exciting. But Jesus bridged where there is a civil war. He made peace. And Christmas, if it's about anything, it's about peace. Look at Luke chapter 2, when the angels came and told the shepherds and sang Here's what they sang. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, what's the word, everybody? Peace. Say it again. And on earth what? Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace is at the center of it. And what you long for is to be at peace. Peace with God, peace in your soul, peace in an unstable, uncertain world, free from worry and fear and all the anxiety that goes with it. But that peace with God is made possible in a relationship with Jesus. When you say yes to him, you find forgiveness of sin. But it is bounded by three truths that you have to know, that God is, and God is, and God is. And if you miss or doubt any one of these three, you get outside the triangle of trust and you lose your peace. At the foundation, God is with me. Then God is guiding me. Then God is working for my good. We'll talk about them one at a time. God is with me. Write it down. God is what? With me. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And here we have the early story of the first Christmas. And we've got Joseph on page 966 in your worship center. Bibles right underneath your chair. Grab a Bible. And by the way, we're turning to page 966, Matthew chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible of your own, on the way out, go to our guest services, and we'll give you a Bible, and you can put your name on it, and it'll be our gift to you, and you study God's word, it'll change your life. But we're going to jump in the middle of this story, verse 22 of Matthew chapter 1, page 966. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what, everybody? God with us. Say it with me loud and proud. It means what? God with us. God is now with us. This is the announcement of the ages. This is the great news. This is the transformation of all earth and all eternity. God is no longer separate from us. God is not distant. God's not disconnected. God didn't create the clock, wind it up, called the universe and leave it alone. No, God is with us. And so the coming of God is unfolding his great and awesome plan. But it was messing up Joseph's plan. Did you see that? If you haven't paid attention, Joseph's plan's getting messed up. God's plan's being fulfilled. Joseph's plan fell apart. Look at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Look, he spent his life growing up. He's probably in his late teens. Some think he was older, could have been in his 20s. And he's now pledged to be married to Mary. And she's pregnant before they get married. Merry Christmas. I mean, you got to know, that just messed up his life. Are you kidding me? I spend my whole life, we get betrothed, our families, it's an arranged marriage, and just before we have the I do, she did somewhere else. Are you kidding me? What an absolute mess. Now all his plans, they're destroyed. I mean, we run to the end of the story as if the guy didn't go through anything difficult. Are you kidding me? Look what it says, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, and the reason you call her husband is because once you're betrothed, you're considered formally bound, but it took the ceremony to complete it. Her husband was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph is like, it's over. I got to go divorce her. All my plans, everything I imagined, my whole life in front of me is destroyed. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Here's what I want you to know. When our plans fall apart, God did not leave us. And many of us think, the moment our plans are falling apart, well, God must not be with me. Somehow, if God was really with me, my plans wouldn't fall apart. And that is patently false. It's what? Say it again. It's what? It's a lie. And yet we believe it. The moment our plans fall apart, we're like, well, I don't know if God's with me. I don't know if I can trust him now. See, the good news is you don't have to fall apart when your plans fall apart. And so Joseph has his plans fall apart, but he figures out, you know what? Apparently God's still with me, so I'm going to trust that God's with me. That's difficult to do. Zechariah couldn't do it. Zechariah, his story is in the next book, Luke, a little bit down the road, Luke chapter 1, it tells his story. He's the father of the forerunner of Christ, of John the Baptist. But you get inside his story, and he's the equivalent of a pastor, a priest of his day. And he has a moment where he's in the holy place lighting the incense, and the angel comes to him. And the angel says, greetings, good news, God's answered your prayer. Now, hang on, just so you know, this God answered your prayer because your wife's going to be pregnant was blowing his mind. We don't know how old he was, but we knew he was old. Extra biblical material suggests that his wife Elizabeth was in her 80s and that he was in his 90s. I mean old. And you see, they had plans when they were young. When they got married, most likely in their late teens, she could have been in her early mid-teens in that cultural time. They expected to have a child after they got married and they couldn't. And so they've been praying all along. And God didn't answer it in the first few years. He didn't answer it in the first decade. He didn't answer it in the second decade. After a while, they're like, whatever. You know, God messed up our plans. If he really loved me, if he was really with me, he wouldn't let my plans fall apart. I'm telling you, this stuff haunts us. We get outside the triangle of trust when God doesn't do the thing we think he ought to do when we think he ought to do it. And we start thinking he's not with us. And God says to Zechariah, or the angel says for God, God's answered your prayer. Zechariah's like, I don't think so. I doubt it. Almost as if to say, you know what? I used to believe that. Oh, I'll still do my priestly religious duty, but I used to believe that stuff. But nah, I doubt it. Prove it to me. What's fascinating is that Mary had her plans messed up too. I mean, she's probably 13 to 15 years old, pledged to be married. And the angel comes to her and says, hey, you're going to have a child. How's that possible? It's going to be a God thing. Supernatural, the Messiah through you. See, I mean, she's in awe. But her plans are all messed up. I mean, you do understand, everybody's plans got messed up on Merry Christmas. You ever think about that? And when you study the scriptures and you look at Zechariah's story and Mary's story, they both had their plans messed up. They just responded differently. If you read the scripture, it sounds like it's the same because Zechariah said, how can this be? And she said, how can this be? But in the detail of language, what Zechariah really said is, I doubt it, prove it to me. And what Mary said is, I'm in awe of you. I have no idea how you can do it, but may it be as you've said, I am your servant. Two completely different responses. What's your response when your plans don't work out? Remember, they both had their plans messed up. Here's how I wrote it. Zechariah planned to have a kid when he got married, and it didn't happen. It happened later. And Mary planned to have a kid after she got married, and it didn't happen. It happened earlier. So Zechariah couldn't have a child when he wanted one, and she got a child when she didn't want one. See, God is not playing out your plan. He's playing out his plan. And what you have to do is trust him. That the supernatural, all-knowing, almighty is with you. And don't doubt. Or you will forfeit the peace he's promised. You got to trust him. And you have to trust not only that he's with you, but that he's guiding me. God is guiding me. God is what, everybody?
Guiding.
God is what again?
Guiding.
God is guiding me. See, go back to Matthew, chapter 1, story of Joseph. And look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he took action. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He trusted that God was guiding. This is powerful. He stayed inside the triangle of trust. In fact, keep reading. Chapter 2, angel came to him and said, you got to leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt because Herod's coming after Jesus. And then while he was in Egypt, no doubt having had more kids, the angel came and said, you got to go back to Nazareth. I mean, he's like, okay, I'll trust. I will trust that God is guiding me. even though Joseph didn't know the end of his story. You got to get this. See, we read the Bible and we read the end of the story and then we think that it had to be easy for them in the early part of their story. No, it wasn't. It was as difficult for them to trust God as it was us, as it is for us any given day at any given period of time. He didn't know the end of the story. He just knew that God was guiding him and he had to trust that. Listen, God has been trying to teach us how to trust him in places like the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Look at it on the screen. Trust, do what, church? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Even though I came to Christ when I was 9 years old, even though I made a commitment to be a pastor when I was 16 years old because I knew he'd called me to it, even though I was a pastor in the decade of my 20s, it was not until I was 30 years old. Kind of embarrassing. Not until I was 30 years old before I figured out what I really meant when I said to God, I trust you. And here's what I meant all those years. I meant, I trust you to do my plan. That's what I meant. And whenever he would not make my plan happen, whenever he would let my plans fall apart, I'm like, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. I don't know. I gave you a perfectly good plan. I laid it out. I wrote it out for you. It's not that hard. You're God. Just do it. Just do it. Just have a little Nike moment and do it for me. And when he wouldn't, I didn't trust him. You know, that's not biblical trust. When the Bible says trust God and don't lean on your own understanding, what he means is trust God when your plans fall apart. Because your plans falling apart is not equal to his plans falling apart. His plans did not fall apart when yours fell apart. He's doing just fine. Don't lean on your own understanding. He's been trying to teach us this in places like Proverbs 16:9. Look at the screen. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What is he teaching us? The mind of a man or a woman, a human being, God gave you a mind, plan your way, but do it prayerfully. But know this, you may make plans, but it's ultimately the Lord that guides and directs your steps. So you make all sorts of plans. Oh, this is where I'm going to go in life. And as you're going, you're like, hey, hold up. Whoa, God, it was there. He's like, no, I'm directing your paths. You have to trust that even when you don't know where he's guiding, he's guiding. And when you get outside that and you doubt that and you distrust that, you get outside the triangle of trust and you lose this peace that was to guide you through life in a world that's uncertain. And you'll know anxiety and worry and chaos and instability in your soul. It will undo you. Get back inside the triangle of trust. Even in the New Testament, he was trying to teach us this. This is true all the way through scripture. Look at James chapter 4. It's a longer scripture, but I want you to see the whole thing. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. What? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, plans. All such boasting is evil. Now, why is it evil? Here's why it's evil. Because you're pretending you're God. When you make plans and boast in them as if you can make things happen tomorrow and down the road, you are pretending to be someone you're not. You are dismissing God and elevating yourself. You see, when you make plans and they do work, when you get a little bit of success, a little bit of money, a little bit of accomplishment, have you noticed how it puffs you up and makes you a little confident? Like you get a little success and you're like, man, maybe I am untouchable. Get a lot of success and you're like, I'm somebody. What's your plan, man? Let me tell you my plan. Let me tell you what I'm going to do this year. Oh, that's awesome. Let me tell you what I'm going to do in the next 5 years. Oh, that's amazing. Let me tell you where I'm going to be in 10 or 20 years. And then let me tell you how I'm going to retire. You are amazing. I know. Really? You can do all that? You're that good? Hey, just let a little economic downturn happen. Just watch your house drop in value 20%, 40%, 50%. Just watch your retirement account take the hit. Lose your title in your job, lose your position. lose a relationship, go sideways, let illness come your way, let a disease threaten you. It's humbling, isn't it? It's a reminder that you're not a God. Quit pretending. That's why it's evil to pretend you can make plans and make them happen. Because you're not a God. Now make them. But know this, God ultimately is the guide. And it'll feel like God's messing with your plans, because he is. 10 to 15 years ago, God messed with my plans for 12 Stone, which happened to be at the center of my life in great part. He was whispering, guiding, telling me, I want you to become a person who gives himself away more than you do. I want you to become a church. I want you to lead 12 Stone to become a church that gives themselves away more than they do. In fact, very specifically, I want you to give the first 10% of everything that comes into 12 Stone away. And I balked big time. I'm like, God, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that's a really dumb idea. And then I laid out the math for him, because apparently he hadn't done his homework. Have you ever had to help God? I mean, I have on many occasions. Because I know he's all-knowing. I know he's everywhere present. I know he understands all things. But he apparently was out that day. And so that would be dumb. We had made some major financial decisions, high risk. We were trying to get our financial footing. And he's like, go give more away. I'm like, well, that's the dumbest thing. Let me just show you the math why we can't do that. You're not paying attention. Besides, giving the first 10% away is what you teach believers to do for the sake of your church. The church is the mission. We don't go give it away. You don't do it that way, God. I read your book. You wrote it. I'm just going to teach you back what you wrote. And there's math in there. I'll do it for you. That it doesn't work. And he just kept whispering it. When I brought it to the elders of 12 Stone, they were like, Joseph, let's do it. And I was like, Zechariah, let me show you why that's dumb, why I doubt it. Now, you know here that it's been well over 10 years of us practicing that. And we are a very blessed church. And we're going to continue to grow in the grace of giving. Jesus said it is better to give than receive. Paul quoted that about Jesus, and that is true, and we all have to grow a little bit in that. So we're going to launch another tradition. In fact, we're going to start a new tradition at 12 Stone. I would love to welcome you to be a part of it. You know that over the last few weeks, I've whispered to you, I've been saying on the side, don't spend all of your Christmas early. Set aside about 10% of what you would spend on gifts, food, and the like. And whatever that number is, set about 10% aside, do with a little bit less for you, because this Christmas we're going to start a new tradition of blessing other people, and we're all going to do it individually and therefore have a collective impact as a whole. Here's how it's going to work, the new tradition. This year, for the first time, you're going to get a 12 Stone Christmas ornament, and you're going to get two of them. You're going to get how many? Two of them, one for you and one for someone else. You can see there's an example of one hanging on my tree. If you don't like it as an ornament, then you can use it just for decoration. Here's an example of it sitting on a table. Now, one is going to be for you and one is going to be for someone else. And the someone else is so that you can bless them. You're going to take that 10%. I don't care if you spend $100 a year normally, then take 10%, 10 bucks. If it's 200 bucks a year, or if it's 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 or 10,000, doesn't matter what the number is. And how you bless someone else, you can do it as an individual. You can do it as a family. You can knit together with other small groups and pool it. You can do it as serving teams. You can do it any way you want. Who do you bless? It can be somebody outside of 12 Stone that God puts on your heart. You go investigate it. You pray about it. It could be somebody inside 12 Stone. Doesn't matter. Whatever God leads you to do, let God guide you, and you learn to give yourself away in a more tangible, significant Christmas moment kind of way. And you're going to use this as kind of the Christmas card when you bless someone. So literally, this opens up, and inside is a little invitation. You can write a little card to them that says Merry Christmas. You can put a food card in there of they can buy food, or you can put a card in there for them to buy gifts for their family. If that's how you want to do it, you could let this be the gift along with giving them wrapped Christmas presents. I don't care how you do it, however you want to do it. You go bless someone else other than yourself and your family, because it's better to give than to receive. And then the other one is yours. And you're going to take this as a family, and you're going to go home, and you're going to write the memory of Christmas. You're going to do it before or on the day of Christmas, and you're going to summarize, here is how God has blessed us. We're grateful to God for this. You're going to kind of list that. Then you're going to kind of remember, put a little memory card, who is the family that we blessed in 2016, and how meaningful was that to us. And you're going to write it all down, and then you're going to hang it on the tree. And then at the end of the year, you're going to pack up your Christmas tree with this 2016 ornament. And then next year, when you pull it out, you're going to go, oh, yeah, and you're going to open it back up, and you're going to remember what you did. And we're going to give you a different, unique 2017 12 stone Christmas ornament. And this is going to become a new tradition for our church. We're going to learn to be more about others at Christmas than about ourselves. It's a growing process. And just to give you, yeah, we can be excited about that. And just to give you a little taste of what that might look and feel like, here is Pastor Kevin Queen and his family. We snuck a little camera at their house and checked in on how could this play out in your home. Listen in.
12 Stone, welcome to the Queen home. We are excited to include you on a family conversation where we're talking about how this year, as a family, we're going to take 10% of what we would normally spend on Christmas, what we budgeted for Christmas for our family, and bless another family. And so I've got my family with me. This is my wife, Ree, Camden, Bolton, Raleigh, and Durham. And we'd love to include you on the conversation we've been having. Last night, we talked about the family that we want to bless, and we decided together.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Why did we choose the family we chose?
Because they just moved here from Pakistan.
Okay, Raleigh, what you think?
Because they escaped persecution.
All right, what you thinking, Cam?
They left all their families and didn't come that much.
Awesome. Bolton?
They have two kids.
Yes. There's some great reasons.
So we're going to be able to bless them, and we're going to give them this ornament. Talk a little bit about that, Ross.
Well, in this ornament that we're going to give them, it has some money that they can go spend on food and a Walmart gift card.
Awesome. So we're going to be able to bless them with that, give them that. And how does it make you guys feel knowing that they're going to get some of what would have been part of your Christmas?
Sad and happy at the same time.
Good. Happy. The cool thing is that, remember y'all, we get to keep this ornament on our tree, and this ornament is for us to be able to look back each time we hang it on the tree in Christmases to come and remember what we're thankful for this particular Christmas and what memories we've made. So Durham, you want to read what we've talked about so far?
Yes. It says, health, trip to beach, Camden was Annie in play, Rawls and Cam were baptized, and friends.
Amen. That's awesome.
So it's been fun for us as a family to bless another family and to go back through and think about things that we want to remember and be thankful for as well. Look forward to hearing how God uses your family to bless others and help make it a great and awesome Christmas for somebody else.
Now that's a cool thing. I hope you'll join in. Thank you to Kevin Queen of the family. And I kind of agree with Durham, don't you? How's that make you feel? You're going to get a little less. A little sad, a little happy? I mean, that's just the truth. Because a little bit of us is a bit more selfish than we ever want to admit. And we have to grow in the grace of giving. A little bit of me's got to die for Christ to live through me. So join in this Christmas effort. Be a part of it. And this great and awesome Christmas is to create a great and awesome Christmas for others. Not just ourselves. What we're doing for kids, what we've already highlighted, what we're going to highlight all the more, what we're doing with the shoe boxes. And if you brought your shoe boxes back today, you're rejoicing in that. If you forgot them, bring them back later today or next week is fine. If you have shoe boxes you forgot to fill, then I guess you got another week. And you go use them. But don't waste any shoe boxes. Bring them back. If you're not going to use them, go find somebody who will. Have them fill them. Make sure they come back next week. We're going to bless other people. And we'll talk over this month the way that we're blessing others. But I want to give you one more thing. Church, I need you to listen on this. For some of you, this is going to be a tough Christmas. I've had these Christmases where you're working hard and falling behind. And for you, you're going to have to make a choice between a great Christmas dinner or gifts. That's going to be tough. And it seemed right, pleasing, prompting from the Lord that this year, one of the things we want to do as a church family is we want to provide your family with your Christmas dinner. So listen, we have an arrangement with Honey Baked Ham where we have bought a few thousand $50 gift certificates that will buy a ham and fixins so that you can have, wasn't that Southern, fixins? Some fixins? I didn't used to know how to say that. I was from the North, but now I'm maturing in my language structure, so now I know what fixins are. Ham and fixins. So that you can have dinner for your family. Let your church family provide your family the Christmas dinner and then use your resources to buy the gifts for the family, because that's what family does for each other. So it is our joy to bless you in this Christmas season. So if you find yourself in that place, you can pick one of those up on your way out. See, 12 Stone, we are a very blessed church. But I think many times people think that if God will bless me, I'll trust him. And I believe it should be more like this as to how it works. You trust him and he's freed up to bless you. I think that's more true. And I'm not talking about material blessing. For heaven's sakes, I'm not talking about material stuff. That'll fade. I'm talking about the blessing in a world that is broken, where you have peace with God like nobody else has. Because you know he is with you, you know he is guiding you, and you know he is working things for your good. It's the third point. Jot it down in your notes. God is working for my good. God is working for my what? Look on the screen, Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Okay, what does that mean? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean all things that happen to me are good. I mean, every time something happens, I'm going to be like, oh, that's awesome. No, sometimes it's not. We live in a sin-broken world. God did not promise heaven on earth. He promised heaven after earth. But while I am here, he said that even when seemingly bad things happen, trust me, I am going to work them out for your ultimate good. You see, I will produce a peace in your life in the midst of things, even when they seem bad, that gives you a promise that in my time they will prove good. I will work them for good. Trust me. It's a peace the rest of the world doesn't have. If you dismiss God, you will never know this peace. But if you will walk according to God's promises, if you will walk with God and truly love him first, if you'll find forgiveness of sin through Jesus and trust him and walk with him and get inside the triangle of trust, you will know his peace. It's part of the peace of the Christmas story, that you know, you are assured that your story is not over even when your plans fall apart. You can trust him. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, their plans fell apart. They didn't have the child when they thought they would. And Zechariah closed the book on his story. And God had to remind him decades later, open that book back up. I was working for your good the whole time. Question, are you prematurely closing the book on your story before God has been fully trusted by you to work all things for the good? See, I'm not convinced we know when something is bad or when something is good. And I'll illustrate with this and close. We talked about the New Testament Joseph. Let's talk about the Old Testament Joseph from the book of Genesis. I wrote this for your encouragement. Some of you may not know the story, but you'll know it a little bit better when you hear this. Listen. Joseph had a dream of him standing and his family bowing. He now knew that his life was destined to be exalted. Well, that's good. No, that's bad, because his brothers got jealous and it put distance in the family relationships. Well, that is bad. Well, no, that's good, because this jealousy led to his brothers turning on Joseph and selling him into slavery. And that's good? Yeah, that's good, because it put Joseph in Egypt, where he became an influential servant in the house of Potiphar, the man over the most powerful army on earth. Okay, that's good. No, that's bad, because Potiphar's wife seduced Joseph with an indecent adulterous proposal. Yeah, that is bad. No, that's good, because Joseph did the right thing and ran from the temptation. Well, that is good. Nope, that's bad. Because Potiphar's wife lied to her husband and said Joseph had tried to seduce her. Okay, that is bad. Nope, that's good, because it landed Joseph in prison. And that's good? No, that's bad, because he suffered more in prison. But prison is how he got a chance to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Well, that's good. Well, no, that's bad, because Joseph can't interpret dreams, and he would be killed when he failed. Well, that's bad. No, that's good, because when he prayed, God revealed the vision of 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine. Famine? Oh, that's bad. Yeah, but it's actually good, because the famine brought the brothers of Joseph to Egypt looking for food, and guess who they bowed before? Oh, that is so good. No, that's bad, because now Joseph had the power to avenge his brothers. Ooh, that is bad. No, that's good, because after 22 years, God had changed Joseph's heart, and he said, what you meant for evil, God has worked out for good. Well, that is good. Yes, it is. Indeed it is, because Joseph brought his entire family, including his father, Jacob, whom he had not seen in 22 years, to Egypt, where they were reunited and saved from starvation, all possible because God put Joseph in charge of Egypt, second in command to Pharaoh. And so you see, you can never figure out what is really good and really bad. You can simply trust that all things work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So trust him. He can be trusted. So as I turn the service over to the campus pastors, let me remind you, you don't have to fall apart because your plans fall apart. So where are your plans falling apart and you're falling apart? Where have you closed the book on your story prematurely? What of those three things you need to reset? God is with me? God is guiding me? Or God is working for my good? So I want to pray for you. Bow your heads. Lord, sometimes the simplest things in life are the most difficult to do. Trust you. Some of us have become aware today that we say those words, but we don't live them. And therefore, we're not in the triangle of trust. We don't know your peace that passes understanding, but it is your offer to us, your gift. I pray for those of us who are in places where our plans are falling apart and we're falling apart. God, would you restore us to trust? Some of us who have closed the book on our story prematurely, and you're saying, I'm not done. I'm working things out in my time. It'll all be good. Trust me. Some of us, Lord, have to have one of those three reset. Maybe right now some of us are saying, God, I have lost sight that you are with me. Maybe that's your prayer right now before the Lord. Maybe you need to say, God, restore that truth in me. You are with me, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it. Maybe, God, some of us are saying, restore the truth that you are guiding me, even when we don't know the end of the story, even when we can't see down the road. You are yet guiding us and directing our paths. Some of us are praying, God, I need that one restored in me. Some of us, it's the third. It's, God, we've lost sight that in all things you work together for our good. And we've gotten outside the triangle of trust, and we're not trusting you in your time for your good. Would you reset that? And the soul of every person who would say, God, I need that restored in me. I pray, God, that you would bring us into your triangle of trust. And there's some of us here who really don't even believe in you, don't even believe in the word, your Bible, the truth. They're confused in this world. They're not sure, but they had the courage to come. Some who once believed when they were a kid, not anymore. Some men, some dads, some fathers, husbands, who are saying, I think this is just for weak people. And yet deep in their soul, they're wondering, could this be true? Some moms, single women of the same, asking the questions. So God, I thank you for the courage of those who are coming. May you continue to reveal your truth to them. May we be a place that can serve them well. May they come to your kingdom soon. Because God, in this world, it's filled with fear and anxiety and worry and plans that fall through all the time. I pray that you would teach us how to trust you. May this be an awakening of trust. I pray this blessing over us in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, saying, amen. Amen.